אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
We are going now all the way to England, where our next guest is located. David Sample lives in London, and he is a duty manager in a small kosher hotel in one of London's suburbs. We would like to hear a little about the Jewish community in the area, how David is helping to fight the BDS, and his involvement with some Jewish organizations, and more. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi. So where in London are you exactly?
I'm in London and Golders Green, the center of the universe.
Golders Green, right. Okay, what do you do?
Well, I work at as a duty manager, at a general manager, at a kosher hotel, a boutique hotel with about 20 rooms. We do a kosher breakfast, and we do, on the weekends, we get Shabbat meals in for people. And half the clientele are Jewish, and the other half are builders, tourists, people from all over the world. We've had Mexican rabbis, and we've had French tourists, all sorts of people come here, Americans, Germans, everybody. And Australians. We've got a fellow from Sydney, Australia, staying at the hotel at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Tell us a little about the area where the hotel is located.
Well, I've got to tell you about this neighborhood I live in. Golders Green. I lived here once before, many years ago. And I'm back here after 10 years in Manchester and 10 years in other parts of London, 10 years in Canada. And I'm back here in Golders Green. And it used to be a sort of secular Jewish community. Now you've got Hasidic, you've got ultra-Orthodox, you've got everybody here. You've got a lot more kosher restaurants than there used to be. And the great thing is on Friday night, the traffic dies down because nobody's driving the car, you know? And everybody's walking the streets. It's a real good community. During the corona, these people work together to support each other in the rough times. It was amazing, you know? And it's a happy neighborhood too, you know?
Mm. It's almost like in Israel, in Jerusalem or Bnei Brak, where everything stops on Shabbat. Do most people there keep the Shabbat?
Everybody keeps the Sabbath. Not everybody, but most people do keep the Sabbath. And you know, it's like when the guests stay at the hotel on the Sabbath, they do a lot of sleeping, going to the synagogue, and then just hanging here out chatting with each other, you know? And somebody will meet somebody that maybe they hadn't seen in 30 years because they've moved to another country and they went to school here together. Something like that. And you'll get Jewish people from all over the world, from New York, mixing with Jewish people from Holland and France. And it's quite good. It's quite good, actually. You know, the hotel's owned by two Jewish guys. I'm the Shabbat Goy. You know what that is. Mm-hmm. So I can work here on Saturdays and that sort of thing. And on the whole, this hotel is there are other hotels in the area. But ours is quite unique. I'm not going to advertise its name, but it's what I would call boutique hotel. 20 rooms, massive dining room, a beautiful garden people can use. And we try and make our guests all really happy. And 90% of our guests are really happy. And that's a good thing. And when you have people from all over the world in a tiny little hotel, and some people stay for 10 days, some people stay for 2 days.
We just celebrated Hanukkah and Christmas, and it's the New Year holiday. Did you meet lots of Israelis?
Yeah, it was absolutely packed. Because of for instance, half the hotel was Israelis who are taking advantage of the good exchange rate against the pound. Then the other half are people from all over the world, and they come here at Christmas. And you know, the problem is we had train strikes. So the people from other parts of England had canceled because of the train strikes. We have a lot of strikes going on at the moment. Train, nurses, doctors, ambulances, etc. But on the whole, I mean, we've been very successful and people have been very happy. You know, I think there's a good feel about this holiday season this year. Despite the fact that the country's going down the tubes, everybody's getting poorer, etc. I've felt this season with the Hanukkah Christmas has been very positive. You know, people have been happy.
And how was Hanukkah?
Well, okay, in Hanukkah, everybody lights the candles for 8 days. So we've got a huge dining room and we had hundreds of candles being lit, and et cetera, and people singing. It was nice. You know, they come in every evening, light candles and sing. It was great. And they all were, you know, together. And then all the evening with people would be doing that. I've never witnessed that before of like tons of people doing that. So that gave it a real festive atmosphere, I thought, you know.
One of the major events in England in 2022, I would say, would be the passing of Queen Elizabeth. She passed away on September the 8th. And now Charles is the new king. How did it affect people around England, and in particular in London? Do you see or feel any changes in tourism this year, for good or bad?
Well, I think one thing about the Queen's death is it really brought out the Englishness in people again, no matter where they're from. It really showed how much people love their own country. Because when the Queen died, it was like a generation of the country died. So it reaffirmed their belief in the country. That it was a very positive thing that came out of her death. You know, of course, everybody dies. They're going to miss her. But Charles seems to have made a good impression. His Christmas speech was well received. His first speech when he accepted the monarchy was well received. Of course, he's going to be crowned next year. On the whole, I think he'll be popular because he's going to play it, you know, by the book in that role. He's taking it seriously. But it just reaffirmed me. A lot of people flag Britain off and turn against their own country, you know, these young generation and teachers, etc. But I sense that the death of the Queen brought about a resurgence in English patriotism.
Mm. David, I hear you are very involved with fighting BDS and that you are very pro-Israel. You are always happy to work with Jewish organizations. So tell me, how did it all begin?
Well, it started in Manchester. I got involved in the BDS, the Palestinian guys. They were boycotting an Israeli store, actually, in Manchester, and I got involved with the people who owned the store and defending it, because there would be 20, 30, 40, 50, 1,000 people outside trying to create problems in this store. It was called Kedems. And so I got involved in the defense with that. And in fact, the Palestinians put a picture of me on their website saying, "Don't speak to this man." And so I got to know a lot of the Jewish community in Manchester. In fact, I managed to get one rabbi and one Hasidic guy elected to the council for the Conservatives in a Labour area. So I got to know these people very well. But now that I've come to London, the Zionist Federation has contacted me saying, "Can you help out in London?" You know, and so they've got two people in London and I'm one of them. So I'm looking forward to working with them, because I think what they're planning to do is concentrate on promoting the positive aspects of what Israeli people do around the world. And I think that instead of fighting the old Palestinian battles, get involved with what Israel does that's good. So in any way I can help, organizing events or whatever, it looks like fun. You know, the Zionist organization here, the Zionist Federation, mm-hmm. they've recruited me as one of the London representatives. So I'm the Shabbat Goy in the Zionist organization now, too.
Oh.
I'm going to be helping them out, because it's all about promoting Israel now, not fighting the Pali war. It's all about promoting the good things that Israelis do around the world.
Well done, well done. I have to ask you now, if you had to pick up one major event that occurred in 2022, what would it be?
Most people would say the Ukraine war. I think that's a bit of a sideshow. It's costing us money, but we're not doing anything with it. Major event. British prime ministers. We've had three this year.
Yeah.
They overthrew Boris Johnson, who I think was wrongly thrown out of power, in the most unusual coup d'etat in English political history. Never has 57 ministers resigned in the prime minister. Then we elected Liz Truss as prime minister, and she was suddenly gone, and Rishi Sunak became prime minister. And that's created a lot of chaos within the Conservative Party, because a lot of people are leaving the party because he never got elected. So, and now we've had taxes going up. So really, they tried to cut taxes, they threw out his trust, and this guy's jacked up the taxes and is just going to penalize us. The Conservatives are finished. They should never raise taxes. That's Labour's job. Now the Labour Party will win the next election. They don't have to raise taxes. The Conservatives would have done it for them. But I think the Conservatives are doomed. So I think it was the suicide of the Conservative Party by getting rid of Boris Johnson this year. And I think he'll be back. I don't agree with everything he did. I don't agree with everything any politician does. But this guy is the most amazing politician. He could have run for the leadership in November. He chose not to, but he'll be back. You watch.
Okay, so when it comes to politics, how do you see the government in England dealing with foreign affairs and relations with different countries, especially with Australia?
The thing about politics is you've got to view it the way the people who read Private Eye view it. You've got to view it with a sense of you have to laugh. You have to actually get the humor out of it, like it's a bad TV show. Because we live our lives and then we have the politicians spending our money. And that's the way life is. You know, there are two certainties in life. Taxes and debt, you know, and ever since the Romans collected taxes from our ancestors, it's the same thing. But I would say that that the interesting thing this year, too, was this defense deal between Australia, the United States, and the UK that was done at the beginning of the year. AUKUS, it's called. So we're working together to help Australia with their nuclear submarines and that sort of thing. That was a big deal, because what I predict is going to happen is that England and the United States will eventually leave NATO and have a wider treaty with Australia and Japan and people like that, because the Far East is now more important than Europe for us. And there's no danger in Europe as there is in the Far East. So I think we'll become closer to the Australians and New Zealand and allies like Singapore and Japan. That part of the world is now more important than Europe. 100 years ago, the British had an alliance with Japan, so Japan could look after the Pacific for us, while we concentrated on the German threat in the Atlantic. But now they talk about the potential Chinese threat. And so that's where we're looking more towards the Pacific. There's no danger in the Atlantic for Britain anymore. Hmm. You know, it's a safe waters.
David, to end with, I heard you are also a good imitator and can imitate some historic figures. So it's the new year today. Let's have a bit of fun. Can you give us a Winston Churchill greeting for the new year?
Look. We shall feed them on the beaches. We don't fight them. We feed them on the beaches and put them up in hotels. Welcome to England. Everybody's welcome here. But you Australians, part of the Dominion of Australia, our family around the world, the English-speaking peoples, we wish you every success. Yes, indeed. But come to England. Come for the beautiful rainy weather. Come to see the Churchill War Rooms. That's what we want you to do. That's a very poor imitation of Winston Churchill. I can do Boris better.
It's okay. Next time, David Sample, thanks for talking to us today and wishing you and your family a great year 2023.
Happy New Year to the wonderful people of Australia, a country I love very much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.